Let's please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 40, as we're continuing in our study in 1 Kings. And last week we saw that God told Solomon that his sin of idolatry and listening to his wives convinced him to allow them to worship idols in the land of Israel, in the promised land, in the city of Jerusalem, which was, Jesus, God said, was his city. You know, you've allowed your wives to pollute this city that's called by my name with your idolatry. And so I'm going to rip the kingdom out of your hand, is what God had told Solomon. I'm not going to do it in your own lifetime. I'm going to do it in the life of your sons. And so he told Solomon that. Solomon knew that that was the judgment of God coming his way, and that God was also going to raise up adversaries. And he did so by Hadad, who became a Syrian problem to Israel, sending warring bands against the Israelites, and also the Edomites also came against Israel again. So what used to be peace in Solomon's earlier days when he was obedient, all of a sudden the nation is having enemies all around them, like we see today. When I was growing up, there was relative peace. You'd say Vietnam wasn't a time of peace. But I mean, we as a country have been at peace. But now we're starting to have threats of, EMPs that could wipe out millions of Americans, and terrorists that are coming, and cyber warfare that could also wipe out millions of people by just shutting down the electric grid or power supplies. Or all these things were not even, they weren't even in the, nowhere in the stretch of the imagination when I was growing up. And now it's just every day you wake up and go, oh, I guess it didn't happen last night. I guess we didn't get nuked, we didn't get chemically missiled, we didn't get another terrorist attack, because they're still talking about some Hollywood actor doing something on Sunday morning TV. So nothing big happened. But things are changing for us as they did in Solomon's day. And then we see that Solomon knew that God had told him somebody else is going to be king, take some of the tribes of Israel, and he found out that Jeroboam, a servant of his, a mighty man servant, had been told by a prophet that he was going to get 10 of the tribes of Israel. And so Solomon wants to kill him. Instead of just accepting God's judgment on his life, he wants to stop the plan of God, much like Saul did with Solomon's father, David. So he is so far gone that he is completely thinking in the world. And the warning last week was that if we depart from God, start going off into idolatry, don't stay in the fellowship of the saints, all of a sudden, if we're truly saved, you're going to be miserable doing those things in the world. But you're also going to just become callous towards the things of the Spirit. Pretty soon you won't even really hear the still small voice. You'll be doing things that you would have thought there was no way you'd ever do, which is why we have to stay in fellowship and keep our minds in the Word of God. So, in 1 Kings 11:40, just picking up where we left, we're covering the last parts of chapter 11 where we concluded last week, to just get into the flow of chapter 12. Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam. But Jeroboam arose and fled to Egypt, to Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? In the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all of Israel was 40 years. Then Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his place. And so Rehoboam, do you think Rehoboam knows that his dad has been told by God that he's going to be judged? Yeah, I would think so. Does Rehoboam know that Jeroboam had to flee to Egypt because his dad wanted to kill him? Almost certainly he did. He would have almost certainly known from his father that Jeroboam went to Egypt and fled from my father Solomon because the prophet came to him and said 10 tribes are going to go towards Jeroboam. Jeroboam's going to be king over 10 tribes, which means he knows God has predicted civil war in his country. And that's, I can't imagine him not knowing. And that's an important backdrop before we get in to see what happens. And Rehoboam, which his name means a people has enlarged. So Israel has become, it's at its zenith of power. It's, mighty nation, hundreds of thousands of fighting men throughout all the tribes of Israel. Went to Shechem, which is going to become the capital of northern Israel, Samaria. Today it's Nablus. It was Shechem before that, or Shechem in this section. For all Israel, all the 12 tribes had gone to Shechem to make him king. So right now, all the 12 tribes are going, okay, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, has been groomed for the job to succeed his father Solomon when he died. So let's all go make him king in Samaria. What becomes Samaria, what is Shechem, what is Nablus today. So what happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it, he was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt, that they sent and called him, that some of the tribal people in Israel, realizing Rehoboam is not like his father Solomon in some ways, not wise, they realized Jeroboam has been told by a prophet that he's going to be king over the 10 tribes. I can't believe that some of the tribal people don't know that. And they go, okay, Rehoboam wants all of us to make him king, but Jeroboam, we want you up here. We want you up here to be with us when we go and approach the king and say, enough with this taxation stuff. And that's what they end up doing. So they called him up. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, meaning taxes and slavery. You know, your dad had all kinds of building projects, and he was not short on vision. He was just short on people to make his vision come true, and that was us and our sons and our money. And we want you to stop it. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you. Now, if Rehoboam knows about the prophet, he knows Jeroboam sitting in the crowd as their spokesman, and that Jeroboam was the one that the prophet said that you're going to be the king of the 10 tribes, and he has all 12 tribes in front of him, and they're saying, you've got to stop it. What is your just absolute, no, it doesn't even take a grade school education to figure this out. What do? You say, sure, of course. Of course I'm not going to tax you as much as my dad. I mean, he built everything that needs to be built. Why do I have to tax you some more? Well, because self-centered, prideful, arrogant people love power, and they love the power to rule over people, and they've done it for centuries, millennia. And Rehoboam is a prideful, arrogant man. So he said to them, Rehoboam said to these, to Jeroboam, who's representing the tribes of Israel, depart for 3 days, then come back to me. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he was still alive, and he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, and this is so important, underline it, because it should be your attitude within the church, within your families, within your neighborhoods. If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. God really created us to just to. We want love, but the way it works is if we love, if we serve, it's God's kingdom. It's not the way that it really works in this world, but his people among his people to serve is the ultimate spiritual world thing to do. It's what God has called us to do. In fact, turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to see what Jesus said. Kings are not known for having a servant attitude towards the people, are they? You know, if a president today with a $1.6 trillion debt really was concerned about the people, would he be taking hundreds of millions of dollars vacations and junkets or, you know, around with his family and everything else? Absolutely not. And we see it all over the world. You see these, over the decades, you see these dictatorial despots in different parts of the country. The people are starving. And what are they doing? Gallivanting around, living in, you know, just loaded in wealth and everything. They care nothing about the people. Nothing. And what the elders of Solomon were saying, yeah, your dad taxed them too much. If you just let off, they'll be sitting there going, he cares about us. In the same way for you fathers, your children. He's disciplining me and he's telling me and he's, you know, get your homework done, but he cares about me. He loves me. That our children would know we love them. That your wife knows you love her. That your husband knows you love him. Is how the spiritual kingdom works. It's not the way the world works. The world works by dominance, power, arrogance, pride. Whoever gets to the top wins. But Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 42, but Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. That's how a ruler knows to stay in authority, is I have to show him who's boss. I have to show him how I can just put him in jail. I can put him in detention camps. I can do whatever I want to. I can just control him, because otherwise he'll get out from underneath my control. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. And then this is the punchline, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, what did they do to Jesus for loving them, laying his life down, being a servant? They killed him. Because the people that wanted to rule in the power, he's threatening, because the people are flocking to him, they're loving him, they're wanting to hear him, and we're losing our power because he is the epitome of service, which is in our hearts what man wants. And so they had to kill him. But that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have that same desire to serve one another, to love one another in our own hearts. And so Jesus is our king, and we are going to serve him how long? Forever. Just like if you go and you serve the people, then they will serve you as king forever. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came, laid down his life for us, and we're going to serve him forever, the people that love him for doing so. Verse 8, going back to 1 Kings, verse 8, but he rejected the advice of the elders had given him, and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. Now, why do they have an interest of telling him different? Because they're his buddies. They get the kickbacks. You know, if he stays wealthy, if King Rehoboam stops taxing the people, then our high lifestyle is going to go down. Rehoboam, tax them more. We want bigger and better things. And he said to them, what advice do you give? Well, how should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made your yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I will chastise you with scourges. I'm going to put the fear in you. I'm going to hire thousands of new IRS agents, and they're going to be all over you, thicker than flies. And you just wait. You do anything wrong, and I'll find you, hunt you down, and you're going to be, you know, without, you know, it's happening. And this is really, God is wanting this to happen. We're going to see later. God wants him to be stupid. And all he has to do to make Rehoboam do something so stupid is to tell them, I'm going to tax you worse, is to appeal to his pride. So he has his buddy say, you just tell him who's boss. Yeah, I'll do that. It's just like Pharaoh. People say that, you know, God made Pharaoh, hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Bible doesn't say how he hardened Pharaoh's heart. But in a way, by allowing these counselors to come and tell Rehoboam, you just tell him that you're going to really show him who's boss. That's hardening his heart through the pride of man. It's not God making him do it. God just knows if you're prideful, I can manipulate. I can let Satan manipulate your pride to do what devil wants you to do to your own destruction. And that's what he did to Pharaoh. And that's what he's doing to Rehoboam. And it should have seemed so obvious to him to take the advice of the elders. But He is destined to do what's evil. Verse 12, so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam. And by the way, Rehoboam's mother, and this is important too, was Solomon supposed to marry any foreign women? No. Did Solomon marry foreign women? Yes. One of the foreign women he married was an Ammonite, we find out from Chronicles. The Ammonites are the Jordanians. They're not part of the nation of Israel. They're into idols. They're into everything else. His mom was an Ammonite. I'm sure that his upbringing was influenced by a woman that was not from the nation of Israel. And I bet his decision to just reject the counsel of the wise spiritual counsel of the elders of Solomon could have been very well because of his mother. So the third day, as the king had directed them, saying, they come to him on the third day, come back to me on the third day. Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. So the king did not listen to the people. And then this is so important, for the turn of events was from the Lord. God had said, I'm going to blow this nation up because this nation's worshiping idols. They were living in peace. They were living in prosperity. They used their peace and prosperity to turn away from me, to turn away from my law, to worship sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And they're going down. And I'm going to have the leaders of the country make such dumb decisions that there's going to actually be a civil conflict within the nation, dividing of class against class, race against race, if you will, in our culture. I'm going to have turmoil internally in the country to separate it, divide it, and bring judgment upon it. And for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord had spoken to Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which we covered last week. Do you think this could happen to our country? It certainly could. And again, for us with spiritual eyes, we see this, right? We see the spiritual aspects of what's going on. So are we really wrestling against men? No, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers in spiritual places. And so when people are asking us what's going on, we shouldn't be in the same hype that the world is, looking through the same glasses they look through. We see through these glasses. And then we can tell the people it's because of our rebellion and sin against God. And there is no turning this around until we get right with God. Now, when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David. So Israel departed to their tents. Now, it's hard for us to understand this because we're not tribal, really, in our culture. But, you know, David was the promised king. You know, they knew that the promises all the way back from Jacob, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until the Messiah comes. But these ten tribes are going, okay, Judah, you think you're so special. You got David on the throne. He's the son of Jesse, and David's on the throne in Solomon. Now you guys think you can just rule and ripshod over the rest of us and our other tribes. We're done with you. You go take care of your own tribe. We're going to go and do our own thing up north. By them saying that, they're saying, and we don't care what the promises of God are. Now, what does that tell you? And we're going to find out more about this as we go through. Were these 10 nations of Israel, or these 10 tribes of Israel, were they rejecting the worship of idols that Solomon and his wives had put up in Jerusalem? No. They were loving it too. In other words, as soon as immorality came, because that's what idolatry is back then, it is today. We do it a little different, get it in magazines and DVDs instead of little whittled creatures, little whittled things that we put up in our houses. Same thing, as soon as it comes in and it isn't just rejected like a rabid dog and shot, it comes in and it starts to take over. And the people actually embrace it. And they forget all the promises of God. They forget his promises. They forget his judgments. They completely get lobotomized spiritually, and that's what happened to these people. And they said, you just forget about the promises to you, Judah, and the Messiah and all that other stuff. We're going to go up north and we're going to worship our idols and we're not going to pay your taxes. We're not going to listen to you, the tribe of Judah. And so that's what they did. And now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen, they said to our tents. So Israel departed to their tents and they left Judah alone. What does that sound like happened here recently after the election? You guys want to have this guy be here? We're going to sign a petition to what? Secede from the nation. We want to go out on our own. We're going to forget you. We're going to go on our own. Not exactly the same because we don't have promises to, you know, pertaining to the Messiah in our culture. But the people were saying, forget this. This is crazy. But Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Then, and Benjamin, we're going to find out, and Simeon scattered in Judah, so them too, and Levi is going to be coming down. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, head of the IRS, who was in charge of the revenue. You know, hey, you go, okay, I don't mind if they don't like me, but when it comes to April 15th, I make sure that the bucks come in. You know, they don't have to like me. They can go up north. They can be their own thing. But April 15th, they're paying up. And so he was in charge of the revenue, but all Israel stoned him with stones and he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So he had gone up as king. He says, okay, I'm going to go up. I'm going to bring my agent and we're going to get the bucks. And he had to run for his life. We could only dream. But so Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Stayed that way till 536 BC. You know, hundreds of years. And then they came back after, you know, Judah was taken captive into Babylon, and then 536 BC, about then, they were brought back in the land under Zerubbabel. You know, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther dealing with those kind of time frames. And they're coming back in as one nation, but it's really that one nation is really the tribe of Judah that's returning. And then in the times of Jesus, you can, if you read the New Testament carefully, there's still the Judah and then the Samaritans. Those Samaritans, that's more like where, well, that's actually the capital of northern Israel. And the Galileans, we know you have a Galilean accent. You're up north, you're in north and south. It stayed there. It's really, this division stayed really within the nation of Israel until the modern nation of Israel, where it's really one nation again. And that's actually what Ezekiel prophesied, that when they come back in the land, it'll be Ephraim and Judah will be tied together as two sticks, which the Mormons think that it's the Book of Mormon and the Bible being joined together, but they just completely twist the scriptures. But it was prophesied that when Israel comes back in the land, in our time frame, we now know that they would become one nation again for the first time in hundreds and hundreds of years because of this division, because of sin. And verse 20, now it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back, they sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none who followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only, except for Benjamin, we're going to see. And when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, because Benjamin was pretty much considered part of Judah. 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Now, why did he want to do that? Money and power. You know, he was saying, okay, Judah, those 10 tribes just went north. Let's go to war with them. Let's bring them back in the fold because they killed my IRS guy. And we can't have this. I made them upset. We're just going to have to kill a bunch of them to make it stay one nation. And that's exactly what's going to happen in any attempts in this country to secede a state from the Union. It's going to be bloody. But theirs wasn't bloody this time because a prophet came and Rehoboam respected the prophet, verse 22. But the word of God came to Shimei, a man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin and all the rest of the people, Reuben and Levi, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. Therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. And I apply this to myself with what I see happening, martial law potentially, loss of civil rights. In fact, you know, there's some conspiracy theories going on around the school about the school shooting in Connecticut because there was, you know, video footage, local TV stuff that people recorded on and have posted now on the internet where they chased some guys down behind the school and they said, I have them spread out. And one kid, they interviewed a kid and he's saying, yeah, I saw somebody in handcuffs outside, that there was, you know, supposedly more than one shooter. It's a fact. There were at least two other men right outside the school that were chased down by the cops and put in handcuffs. What were they doing? Nobody knows. And so some people were posting these. There were several discrepancies. There's so many discrepancies in the early reports about what now we're being told is exactly what went down. And some people were posting on Facebook, and you know what happened? They pulled their Facebook pages because they said, you can't be saying this stuff. And people are going, wait, I'm just putting it out that maybe this isn't, that maybe the party line isn't all factual. No, you can't do that. And if you continue to say that you can, we'll completely wipe out your Facebook account. We are almost to the point of being completely controlled in the media that we're even allowed to hear and to see and to read. It's so, so close. The Constitution will be gone, everything else. And do I fight? You know, Rehoboam is, I'm going to fight. I'm going to restore the country. I'm going to restore the Constitution. Or do we listen to the prophet say, it's from God? This is from God. This disruption is from me. So, yeah, it's bad. It's not what I intended. It's not what I wanted. I mean, the nation of Israel was supposed to be my witness people, but they chose to worship idols instead. So you guys are in judgment right now and enjoy. So this thing is from me. Therefore, they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. And I you know, for me, I'm just kind of looking at that's what's happening to us too. Later on, they go to war and hundreds of thousands of their own people. In civil war, none of the bad guys die, just your own people die. It's terrible. And they lost hundreds of thousands later on going to battle against each other. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. Also, he went out from there and built Peniel, another city. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now, and I'm going to have to remind us of last week, the prophet that came to Jeroboam said, and here's another thing God says, he's going to give you 10 tribes, and if you follow him, if you listen to his law and you do it, then he will make your throne last forever. You're going to have 10 tribes and you're going to be living on the thrones forever. But God says, but I have to keep Judah to be with the tribe. You know, I have to keep southern Israel with the tribe of Judah because of my promises to David about the Messiah. But you can be north and be in charge of the kingdom up there, you and your descendants. So he knows he's supposed to follow God. But what does he do? Now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, if I let them worship the true God of Israel the way he wants to be worshipped, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. He was afraid that the nation might repent and get back to being unified the way God intended it to be. Should he have been afraid of that? We should never be afraid of people repenting and turning back and losing power. But again, prideful, arrogant people love power. Therefore, the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, made two idols, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. It's too far away to go all the way from northern Galilee area down to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. Bethel is the furthest south town of northern Israel. So if they're going to go to Jerusalem, man, you know, I can either bow down and worship this golden calf right here, right now. And, you know, that's what everybody wants to do anyway. Stop at the video store and just get something decadent. Just do that right now. That's what everybody's doing. Or I could just keep heading down the road another 20 miles or so and go worship the way God wants me to worship. So he says, there at the south, one at the very farthest north, Dan, you know, so you don't go to the other nations to worship their gods, so you still stick underneath my power, my authority. I'm going to give you God north, give you God south. Just stick within the nation of northern Israel. And what should the people, if the people have been loving God, what would they have done? Forget you. We're not going to worship idols. But they're totally into it. They want to worship the golden calves. Now, this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places, made priests from every class of people. Who has to be the priests? The Levites. But he says, forget the priests, because they're the ones calling the people back to the word of God. We want to just help anybody be a priest. If you're a homosexual, you can be a priest. If you're a woman, you can be a priest. Anything goes. Whatever you people want, they can be the ones to preach the word of God. Only we'll be worshiping idols instead of preaching the word of God. But we'll be doing it in the form of godliness, but denying its power. Who were not of the sons of Eli. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 11:13. There's an important piece of information that we don't find in Kings that we do in Chronicles. I'm going to try and do this. We're going to actually, in studying Kings, we're going to be studying Kings and Chronicles, because they repeat each other a lot. But this is what it says in 2 Chronicles 11:13. And from all their territories, the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel, northern Israel, the 10 tribes, took their stand with him, Rehoboam. For the Levites left their common lands and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them from serving as priests to the Lord. So the Levites were scattered through the whole nation, all 12 tribes, because they were supposed to keep the people in the Word of God. And so when Jeroboam says, if you really love Jesus, we're not going to let you be a pastor. We're not going to let you on the radio. We're not going to let you have a website or whatever else you're going to be doing in the future. We want the priests that we want that worship idols to get the voice. Well, then the priest just said, well, we're going to go to the one place that is still serving God, Jerusalem. Where would we go? If you really wanted to go serve God today, where would you go? Yeah, I thought about that. Where can you go? It used to be that in Europe, they said, let's go to America. And now, you know, can we go back to Europe? No, they're way ahead of us in being gone. Gone. And I've said, South Sudan, as far as I know, it is the most biblically centered nation on the face of the earth. They just formed. They want the gospel. But there's too many bugs and mosquitoes and snakes and everything there. And so it's too hot. I'd die within a year. But anyway, they wanted to go south. Then he, Jeroboam, appointed for himself priests for the high places for the demons. This is proof positive. If you worship idols, and in our day, again, it's different, but it's the same. It's the immorality of the world. You're worshiping demons and the calf idols which he had made. And after the Levites left, those from all the tribes of Israel, as set their heart to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their father. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong for 3 years, because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. Back to 1 Kings. So, this is so important, because the Mormons teach that they were the 10 lost tribes of Israel that came over when the Assyrians conquered them. What we realize is that what did southern Israel become? Southern Israel no longer is just Judah, Benjamin, and Simeon scattered in there. What do they become? They become all 12 tribes. Anybody of the northern 10 tribes that still feared God, didn't want to worship idols, wanted to stay true, they all came to southern Judah, and Judah now becomes really the 12 tribes of Israel that wanted to serve God. And Jeroboam, verse 32, ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month. For those of you familiar with Jewish feasts, are there any Jewish feasts on the 15th day of the 8th month? No. There's the Feast of Tabernacles on the 15th day of the 7th month. And so he makes one, Jeroboam in the north. Not only does he put idols, but he wants to keep Christmas and Easter, but changes the date. Like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel, he installed the priests of the high places, which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar, which he had made at Bethel, on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burnt offerings. He knew that people like to worship. And they have to worship. I can't control the people that don't get to do religious stuff. So I'm going to give them all the feasts and festivals. I'm just going to remove any semblance of it being an obedience to God. We're going to have religion without relationship. We're going to have worship without it being to the God of gods and King of kings. And I'm going to control these people. And throughout the rest of Kings and Chronicles, it said that he did wickedly, like the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Meaning, led the people into idolatry, led them away from God, destroyed them spiritually by opening them up to the demonic powers associated with bowing down to immorality, to the idols of the world. Can we get a lesson from that? I'm not shocked at the apostate church, because it's the consequence of judgment coming. It's a consequence of people turning away from the true and living God. But we saw people here that said, I'm going to leave my land. I'm going to leave my familiarity. I'm going to leave my people, my family. I'm going to go to where I can worship God. And they went down south. And for me, I'm going to always be looking for people to fellowship with. Even if I'm not a pastor, I'll be always, as long as I'm alive and able and capable, I'll be looking for people that love my Jesus, that want to worship him and serve him and tell other people about him until the day we die and go home. And you know, they're scattered all over this world. And we just got to seek them out and minister and serve with them. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Jesus, that you would help us to truly discern the days that we're in. It just seems like the snowball is accelerating down the hill, and things are going to be changing so quickly. And in our environment, Lord, things that are shocking to so many people. And yet, Lord, it seems that this is something that's really coming from you because of our foolishness of turning away from your ways, your law, your love for us. And God, I just pray that you would help us in our hearts to truly receive this chastisement that's upon our culture, Lord, in a way that we are supposed to as your people, that we would be a light continuing to burn bright for the gospel of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this closing song.
For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Far above all gods, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, oh above all the earth. not exalted far above all God. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Far above all gods, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, O
such a privilege to exalt our King and serve Him all the days of our life. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in His care.